In this week's market update, the Fed and tech earnings are the main focus as investors hope for a quieter few days after last week's wobble. Well, it was a case of blink and you missed it. Last week's volatility was over almost before it began, although it briefly did look a bit worrying. Monday was the worst day of the year for some markets, particularly in Europe, which bore the brunt of the Delta variant-related panic. Shares in the UK and across continental Europe were down by around 2.5% at their worst, with painful drops in Japan and Hong Kong too. By the time Wall Street closed last Monday, however, investors had regained their composure and they spent the rest of the week regaining the lost ground and moving on to finish at yet another all-time high. Buy the dips worked once more for equity investors. By Friday, the S&P 500 stood at just over 4,400, and that means it's doubled since the March 2020 low point. That's quite some performance during a global pandemic, and one that none of us would have predicted 16 months ago. It remains a narrow market, although gains are broadening out from the recent unusually restricted leadership. About half of companies are now above their recent average. That's okay, but it's still at odds with a market trading in record territory. It suggests that the recent gains are fragile. The reason is that it's really only big growth companies that are doing well. Smaller and more value-focused shares are treading water or are materially down on their recent highs from earlier in the year. There's a lot less talk of rotation from defensive growth into more cyclical value plays now as investors look nervously at the economic impact of new virus mutations. That nervousness is also very much in evidence in fixed income markets, where the yield on the 10-year Treasury bond fell as low as 1.13% last week. Bond prices rise and yields fall when investors flock to safe havens. For now, talk of reflation, resurgent inflation and rising yields is very much playing second fiddle to concerns about COVID. The fall in bond yields and the rally in bond prices is making life very uncomfortable for the majority of investors who think that markets are just too pessimistic about the economic recovery as we pull out of COVID. Most Wall Street bond analysts think that yields will be back to 1.8% by the end of the year, up from the current level of just below 1.3%. The current level of yields is more consistent with a recessionary environment, which no one really expects. The US economy is still expected to grow strongly this year by 6-7%, with other developed markets following suit. In reality, the current low yields reflect a short-term rise in demand for safe assets at a time when central banks are still buying up large quantities of bonds. That's a powerful combination. Net short positions, reflecting the belief that yields will rise in due course, remain at high levels historically. So buying into the bond rally remains quite high risk. This week, we'll provide some important guidance on the big market questions. First, we'll hear from the Federal Reserve on Wednesday evening at the end of its two-day rate-setting meeting. This is the first meeting since markets took fright after comments at the June meeting that seemed to open the door to a quicker and firmer tightening of policy in the months ahead. A month ago, the so-called dot plots of rate setters' intentions pointed to two interest rate rises in 2023. That was up from zero just 3 months earlier. The Fed has spent much of the past month trying to settle market nerves, and it's made it clear that it needs to see more progress towards inflation and employment goals before it starts to take away the punch bowl of stimulus. The Fed's Open Markets Committee is a broad church, with some rate setters at the hawkish end and others more dovish. Chairman Jay Powell sits in the middle, but he's thought to have a dovish bias, so expectations remain that the Fed stays lower for longer. Still, the expectation remains that over the summer, the Fed will begin to set out a timetable for the end of bond purchases. This week will be the start of that process. This week will also shine some light on that market rotation from growth to value and back to growth again. Many of the big tech stocks that have driven the market higher report second quarter earnings this week, including Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet and Facebook. Combined, they're expected to report a $72 billion jump in revenue for the April to June quarter compared with the same period a year ago. That's a 30% rise, and it comes on already strong gains in recent quarters. Apple's sales were 54% higher in the first quarter too. Both Google and Facebook are expected to show gains in sales of more than 50% as the internet continues to dominate advertising in a world where digital channels are the main route for companies to reach their customers. Overall, this week's results will confirm that the pandemic has accelerated an existing move online in everyone's lives. Regulators and governments may be looking to rein in the power of big tech, but the reality is that they're running to catch up with some of the most powerful companies the world has ever seen. The other big theme in this early part of earnings season is the financial sector, with Europe's investment banking giants expected to follow the lead of Wall Street, where a boom in M&A helped drive strong revenue growth. Barclays and Deutsche Bank report this week. Retail banks such as NatWest, Lloyds and Santander will also update on their markets, with higher mortgage volumes likely to offset a slump in consumer borrowing and new business lending. Putting it all together, earnings season continues to surprise on the upside. The expected growth rate in earnings for the second quarter now stands at 78%, up by 15 percentage points since results season kicked off a couple of weeks ago. For the year as a whole, the expectation is now that earnings in 2021 will be 40% higher than in 2020. With around 120 reports in the bag from the S&P 500's constituents, nearly 90% have beaten forecasts by an average of 20%. The rate of outperformance of expectations has been even higher for financials, 91% beating forecasts by an average of 31%. All the tech companies so far reporting have come out better than expected, albeit by a smaller 12% margin. That's quite a recovery, which is keeping valuations in check and will continue to provide support to the stock market. Two other factors supporting the market are sentiment and the consequent weight of money still sitting on the sidelines. In the US, something like $4.5 trillion is currently parked in money market funds, even after a $1.4 trillion inflow into equity and bond markets since February of last year. That cash mountain is almost as high as it was during the worst of the pandemic panic. It's worth noting that the doubling in the stock market since then means the cash has less purchasing power, but it still provides some real support to prices. Commodity markets also regained their poise last week after a battering on Monday, which saw the oil price fall by 7%. In part, that was explained by OPEC and its main ally Russia agreeing to raise output to put a cap on the cost of crude. The need to do that has been underscored by the price of Brent remaining well above $70 a barrel, currently about $73. Metals prices continue to sit well below their highs in the spring as growth fears take over from recent inflation worries and attention focuses on whether China's growth is stalling. This coming weekend, Chinese Purchasing Managers Index data will give us a clue as to whether China's recovery from the pandemic is waning. A reading of just above the 50 mark dividing expansion from contraction is expected, which will be the lowest rate of growth since February. Meanwhile, back in Europe, attention will focus on inflation, with expectations that the Eurozone will add to recent worrying prices data in the US and the UK. Consumer price inflation data is due on Friday, with a continuation of the rising trend that's been in place all year. A July print of 2% will confirm that higher prices are a global issue as businesses try to pass on rising input costs to their customers. Christine Lagarde, the ECB president, is for now sticking to the line being taken by her counterparts in London and Washington that inflation is a transitory issue that will soon pass. The ECB, like the Fed and the Bank of England, is hoping for a sustainable inflation rate of 2%.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.